Jonah. So if you're looking for Jonah, find Obadiah. If you can't find Obadiah, find Micah. And if you can't find that, scoot over beside someone who found Jonah. Look with me now at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning, and we just can't thank you enough for the great privilege of meeting for worship. Father, we know that this is possible because of your great grace toward us, manifested through the giving of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we've been reminded of that this morning. As we continue to worship, Father, we know that we desperately need your help. We are inclined and we are pulled away. There is a part of us that would move us to focus on ourselves or focus on things around us, even in a corporate time of worship. God, help us. Help us now to listen. Help us to hear. Help us to look toward you in your word. And Father, we know that there is truth here this morning that you will use to sanctify us. There's truth here that you will use to help us see you clearly from the Scripture. And God, you will use it to transform us and make us into the people that you want us to be. So we thank you, God. And this in itself, Father, we acknowledge to be an act of worship as we humble ourselves before you now. To you be glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. My plan after finishing our short study in Acts chapter 17 was to begin a study on Paul's epistle to the Galatians. As a matter of fact, I spent most of the summer studying the book of Galatians in preparation for this sermon series. I have about 10 sermons prepared from Galatians, and Galatians is a great book. It's very important to us in understanding the gospel of God's grace. And yet, folks, I have learned through the years to submit my plan for preaching to God's leading. And sometimes I struggle with that. Why, God? I've spent the summer studying in Galatians, and I have these sermons prepared, and now why can't I preach from Galatians? But God has His way of just moving us to where He wants us. And that is in preaching and also in living. That direction will now take us to the Old Testament book of Jonah. And I have studied the book of Jonah before in the past, but I've never preached a series of sermons from Jonah. And God actually used two things to bring me to this study. First of all, He used a Faith 3 study on how God brings us to humility. And one of the examples that I used in that study was Jonah. And then second, right after that study, I spent several weeks in my daily devotions in the book of Jonah, and it was a blessing and a great challenge to me. And that brings us then this morning to this study in Jonah. I'd like to spend several weeks looking in detail at this marvelous little book called Jonah. Now, most people, when they hear the name Jonah, almost immediately think about one of the events in the book of Jonah. Well, they think, well, Jonah was swallowed by a whale or by a fish, and that becomes the central focus of their thoughts concerning Jonah. And actually, it becomes the focus of unbelievers when they consider the book of Jonah. In some cases, it even influences their look at all of the Scripture. All of the Word of God is called into question because of the book of Jonah and a fish. And so let me say right up front as we begin this study that the book of Jonah is more than a fish story. It's a skillful, well-written gem of a biography. And we might step back and we would say, well, what do we expect when the Holy Spirit gives His Word to men? We should not expect less. We see it here in the book of Jonah. And though its truthfulness and its accuracy is regularly attacked, you realize that it's the only book of the minor prophets mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ? And that in itself should tell us that it's important. And so, brothers and sisters, I think this will be a good study. This will be a needed study. In truth, this book is so relevant that every one of us will see ourselves in the book of Jonah. And that means then that there's a little Jonah in all of us and a whole lot of Jonah in most of us. And right here, at the beginning of this study, let me make this truth very clear. Jonah is not the hero of this book. God is. This little book is about God and how Jonah responds to God. If I could sum up the book in a couple of sentences, it would be these. First of all, God treats us with grace. And second, God shows grace to His people and the people of this world. Folks, this morning there's a lot we can learn from this book, and what we learn will be very, very important to us. So let's begin this morning. Let's begin with an overview. Let's get the big picture of this little book that we call Jonah. Well, first of all, we need to understand that Jonah was a historical character. I start with this truth because so many people deny this and so many people reject this. Just for a few minutes, listen now to some of the different theories about the book of Jonah and the fish. For example, some say without any evidence at all that Jonah was the son of the widow of Zarephath. Now remember, the widow of Zarephath was fed by the prophet Elijah, and her son was raised from the dead by Elijah. I honestly don't know of any basis whatsoever for this view. It makes no sense for me. I dug deep. I couldn't find any reasoning for this, and yet there are people who say that. Some say that Jonah had a dream in the ship while he was asleep during the storm, and the book of Jonah is the account of that dream. And again, there is no evidence whatsoever to support that. Some relate the book of Jonah to the Phoenician myth of Hercules and the sea monster. Now again, what can I say? There's absolutely no connection with Jonah and Hercules or mythology. Some claim that Jonah was picked up after the storm and shipwreck by a boat that had a fish figurehead, and this gave support for the record that we have in the book of Jonah. In other words, the fish that swallowed Jonah was actually a ship. There are even some that say a dead fish was floating around and Jonah took refuge inside the dead fish after he was thrown into the water during the storm. You see, folks, behind all of these opinions and all of these claims is the belief that the book of Jonah is unreasonable and therefore it's not true. But I can say to you this morning that Jonah was a historical person and not a character of mythology. And it can be shown on good authority that the account of this book is accurate. And it will be shown in the course of our study that the message of the book of Jonah is of utmost importance to our lives and to our time. Jonah was a real historical person. Now we find evidence of this in the historical record of the kings of Israel and Judah. And frankly, folks, few people deny that these kings were real persons. There are some, but most recognize the truth of the kings of Israel. David, Josiah, Hezekiah, other kings stand in the pages of history as real people and real kings. And it's among the historical records of these kings that we find the first mention of Jonah. So hold your place in Jonah and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14 and look at verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. Now speaking of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, the writer says this. He says, he restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. Now think about this for a moment. Jeroboam was a real person, and Israel was a real nation, and Hamath was a real place, and Jonah, the son of Amittai, was not a figment of someone's imagination, but he was a real prophet sent by the Lord God of Israel to speak truth to the people of Israel. This book that we recognize as Jonah can be dated around 765 BC. It was written during the reign of Jeroboam II, king of Israel. Now, folks, what that means then is that Jonah was a contemporary of other prophets, prophets like Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, Micah. Even the scriptures here in 2 Kings tell us that Jonah came from a place called Gath-Hepher. It was a little town in the northern part of Israel in the region that the New Testament calls Galilee, and it was actually not far from a little village called Nazareth in Galilee. You see, folks, Jesus was not the only prophet who came from Galilee. Now, it's true that the only time that we see the name Jonah is here in 2 Kings and also in the book of Jonah, and then several references in the New Testament. But that's actually more than some other prophets in the Old Testament. For example, the prophet Habakkuk is not mentioned any place in the Scripture except in the book that bears his name. And so this book called Jonah is sober historical truth. Brothers and sisters, there was a man named Jonah who really did flee to Tarshish. He was swallowed by a great fish. He was taken by that fish to the city of Nineveh. He preached to that city. There was a great revival in Nineveh. You see, Jonah was a real person of flesh and blood. There is only one Jonah in the Bible, and he's a real person sent by a real God to real people to confront real sin. We need to learn about Jonah. Let's next consider authorities on the book of Jonah. You see, the entire question concerning the book of Jonah revolves around the question of authority. So who is the greatest authority on the book of Jonah? Is it historians? Is it researchers of historical writings? I mean, who should I consider the greatest authority on the book of Jonah? I would stand before you and say that there is one authority that we look to above all others, and his word concerning Jonah is final and complete, and that person is Jesus. Listen out of what he says. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and let's look at verses 29 and 30. Luke chapter 11. Verses 29 and 30. Luke writes this, and he says, "And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation.'" You see, Jesus talked about Jonah. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and let's begin with verse 38. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew writes, and he says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered," Jesus answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Folks, we put those statements together, and as we're talking about authority, then the Lord Jesus Christ considered Jonah a real person, and the Lord Jesus Christ accepted the book of Jonah as true. And so when a person rejects the book of Jonah, they're not simply saying that the book and its events are unreasonable, but they're also saying that Jesus was mistaken, and that Jesus was unreasonable to accept this book as true. And so a person breaks with Jesus when they break with Jonah. This book called Jonah contains the personal record of an experience that Jonah had. Now, strictly speaking, the book of Jonah is not a prophecy. I mean, you read the book of Jonah, and I encourage you to do that in the coming weeks. Read the book of Jonah, and you'll see it's a very different book. You compare Jonah with other books of the minor prophets, and again, you'll see that it's very distinct. It's very different. It's the personal account of a major event in the life of the prophet Jonah. Now, the writer of the book is not identified, but tradition, Jewish sources ascribe it to Jonah. That's not stated in the book. But if it is Jonah, and I believe it is, that Jonah tells his experience, which is actually a sign of the greatest event in the history of the world, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So don't dismiss the book of Jonah. Don't just limit the book of Jonah to one event that takes place in that book, because Jesus referred to it, and Jesus makes this comparison. Think about it. This little book points to the greatest event in history. There's another point that we need to make here. The fish is not the central point or the central theme of the book. We said it before, we'll say it again, because so often in our thinking, when we hear this name Jonah or the book of Jonah, we immediately begin to think of that event in the book. But the book is not about the fish. The fish has a part in the record, but the fish is not one of the essentials of the book. It's like the ship, the storm, the wind, the plant. But folks, the essentials of the book come down to two: Yahweh and Jonah, God and Jonah, God and man. And as we've said before, we clearly see in this book God's grace toward Jonah and God's grace toward Nineveh. You see, running throughout this little book is the grace of God. And it is a little book. There are four chapters. There are about 1,300 words. You can read this book in 15 minutes. And yet, folks, it opens up a window into the heart of God and the heart of Jonah. And when we see Jonah's heart, we'll catch a glimpse of our own hearts. Now, what are some of the important subjects that we see in this book? Several important subjects that are mentioned or developed in the book of Jonah. And we'll look at these subjects in the coming weeks of our study. For example, number one, this is the one book of the Old Testament that sets forth the resurrection. You see, some assert that the resurrection is not found in the Old Testament, but when a wicked and adulterous generation was seeking a sign, Jesus Himself referred them to the book of Jonah for the message. And so we've said it, we'll say it again, there is a connection between Jonah and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, we're thinking about important subjects. This book also declares the truth that salvation is not by the works of man. One of the most important statements in this entire book, in this little book, is found in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Look at it with me. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. And these are the words of Jonah. He's praying at this time. We'll look into more detail later. He says in verse 9, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed." Look at this next statement. "Salvation is of the Lord." Salvation is of the Lord. You realize that could be a summary statement of the whole Old Testament or the whole Bible. Salvation is of the Lord. And Jonah says that in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Number three, we also see in the book that God's purpose of grace cannot be frustrated. We've already said that that's a theme that runs throughout this little book, the grace of God. But this book shows us God's determination to get His message of salvation to a people who will hear it and accept it. You see, God's grace was working in the life of Jonah, and God's grace was working in the city of Nineveh. Number four, we'll see the truth in this book that God will not cast us aside for faithlessness. You see, folks, when Jonah failed the first time, God did not cast him aside. Some of the most encouraging words to a faltering and failing child of God are found in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Look at it with me. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." The second time. See, God did not give up on Jonah after his first failure. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Number five, I don't want to overemphasize this point, but it is important. And you have to keep thinking about this as we study this book together. God is good and God is gracious. And one of the clearest statements about God are spoken by Jonah in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Look at it with me. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. "So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm.'" That's God. That's God. And folks, it took a disobedient prophet in the Old Testament to declare that truth. Others have declared it. Jonah did. You know, it's wrong to say that the New Testament shows a God of love and the Old Testament shows a God of judgment, because the book of Jonah shows a God of great mercy and a God of great love and a God of great grace. We see that in the book of Jonah. And then number six, we also see that God is the God of the Gentiles. God is not just the God of the Jews. Aren't you glad that God is the God of the Gentiles? But not only the Gentiles, the God of the Jews. The book of Jonah declares God's rule and God's care over all people. He's not some limited local deity, but He is the creator and the ruler of the universe and everyone in it. Folks, this is a great book on missions. This book has a world vision. This book has God's vision. You know, that seems short, but this should get us started. This should begin us, and by the grace of God, give us a thirst and a hunger for God from the book of Jonah. I encourage you in the coming weeks to pray for me as I continue to study and prepare and preach these sermons from the book of Jonah. But I also encourage you to pray for God's work in all of our hearts to give us understanding that will help us apply the truths that we find in Jonah to our own hearts and our own lives. We are looking forward to this study in the book of Jonah. Will you bow your heads? Father, we trust You this morning. And Father, I trust You. To bring me to this place in Your Word. And thank You for the time that You've allowed me to study it thus far. And thank You even for today, for an introduction to this little book. And God, we acknowledge very clearly that this is Your Word. And Father, we also acknowledge very clearly that all Scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed and it's profitable. Father, You will take our study in this book. We have full confidence in You, Father, to take it and work in our lives to complete us and thoroughly furnish us and equip us for every good work. We're thankful for this great care. Father, we're thankful for this grace You bestowed upon us. Help us now to be diligent students. Help us to be humble servants. Help us, Father, to enter into this study with hearts that desire to honor You and glorify You. And God will look forward to how You will change us and transform us through our study together. Work in our hearts even today. Simple truth that we've looked at today from Your Word. Simple statements about Jonah. Words that he spoke. Events that took place. God, use it. Use it to work in our lives for Your glory. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn to page 151 in your hymnals. 151.